The Medrash tells us in Parshas Vayeshev that there were a number of things going on simultaneously. Shvatim hayu asukim b'mechiraso shel Yosef. Yosef haya osek b'sako v'taniso. Ruvain haya osuk b'sako taniso. Yaakov haya osuk b'sako v'taniso. V'yehudi haya osuk likach lo isha. So let's just review what we have here, and then we'll get to the punchline of this Medrash Rab, which we haven't gotten to yet. What's going on? A lot of people here, our greats, our giants, our ancestors, are doing tshuva. That's called Sako v'taniso. We have Yosef doing tshuva. Apparently, he understood that he was sold, and this was a divine decree to suffer anguish as an eved because of maybe the lashon hara that he spoke against his brothers. Reuven was dedicating himself to tshuva because what he did with his father's bed, which he took into the other room. We discussed that yesterday. Yaakov is probably trying to figure out what he's guilty of, that he should suffer the mechira of his son. And the Shvatim themselves are preparing for the sale of Yosef. Again, I don't know if this all took place simultaneously, because keep in mind, it couldn't have been, because we're talking about Yosef Sako v'taniso probably is after he was sold. Mm. And Yaakov as well. But in all within one short period of time, short span of time, And basically everything is negative except for Yehuda. Yehuda's a little bit more positive because he's trying to find a wife. And then here's the punchline. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing at this time? You know, you and I would never have the chutzpah of asking such a question, but the Medrash could get away with it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoseik Ubore Oro Shel Mashiach. He's creating the light of the Mashiach. So the number of questions that we want to ask here, first of all, what's the connection between all these individuals, with the exception of Yehuda, who are involved in, shall we say, negative or tshuva for a negative action, and the Mashiach? You know, that's a much more positive. And it's interesting that this is all going on at the same time. Secondly, what is the concept of Oro Shel Mashiach, the light of Mashiach? You know, we've heard, you know, Or of Yerushalayim. You know, we've heard Or of Kedusha. You know, Kedusha gives out an Or Haner. You know, but Or of Mashiach, that's an interesting phrase. And not only that, the fact that Bore, you know, that God is creating light, which is very strange, because we always assume that creation is sort of a closed entity. It began and it ended, and everything's already been created, and the Or was created on the first day. So why is Hashem now creating the Or of Mashiach, and what's the significance of the Or of Mashiach? So to begin to take this all apart and see if we can find some connection between Parshas Vayeshev and Ner Chanukah, and try to figure out what's unique about the mitzvah and the holiday of Chanukah, let's begin on top with a Gemara, an Agadita, an Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches. That Agadita, which is a very long Agadita, deals a lot with the Tanoim and especially the Haruge Malchus. But at one point or another, the Gemara gets into a discussion about Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir was faced with a Xeris Malchus. The Malchus was threatening to kill him. And with his power of tefillah, he's going to protect himself against the Xeris Malchus. And it's very interesting exactly what he prayed. His prayer became, in a sense, a paradigm of prayer. And what did he say? He said, Ela de Meir aneni. Now, I'm going to translate this incorrectly. What I'm about to tell you is absolutely incorrect, and we'll see that in the Marsha, but I'm going to give you the literal translation. I don't have an art scroll to see how they translated it, but literally it translates, may the God of Meir, and that was his name, answer me, respond to me, and save me, umitzas, and save me from this danger. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Meir was absolutely certain, had total reliance on this prayer. And the Gemara says, how did Rabbi Meir know that this was the magical formula? And the Gemara goes on to tell us that Rabbi Meir was attacked by dogs, by very man-eating dogs. And when they got close to him, he declared, Elah de Meir aneni. He cried out, God, the God of Meir, please respond to me, Shavkua. And the animals, the dogs, let him go. So this is all the miraculous, supernatural demonstration of the power of Hashem to protect Rabbi Meir through this tefillah of Elah de Meir aneni. And the Marsha is very bothered by this Gemara. He says, how can you take this literally? Because we have a rule that we don't call God the God of another person. We only say, for example, Elkei Avram, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkei Yaakov, and being miyachid the Shem Hashem to a person when that person is dead, when he's pure neshama, but not during his lifetime. For example, Yaakov Avinu, he speaks about Elokei Avram, but then when he gets to Yitzchak, who's still alive at that point, he doesn't say Elokei Yitzchak, he says Pachad Yitzchak. So the question of the Marsha is, how could Rabbi Meir speak about the God of Meir? Heich yiched Rabbi Meir shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu al atzmo b'chayev while he's still alive? Hare Amru Chazal tell us, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyached shmo al tzaddikim b'chayev. God is not, you're not allowed to attach his name to a tzaddik during the lifetime of the tzaddik. V'yesh lomar. And at this point, the Marsha is going to reinterpret the prayer of Rabbi Meir. We'll go through it. I'm interested in his second interpretation. That's more relevant to us. But let's go through both of them. He says in the first interpretation, Lo Amar Eloka de Meir Kakla Simon B'Alma Al Shmo. In other words, he wasn't saying that you are the God of Meir, but he was saying, you are the God who protects me, Rabbi Meir, please protect me. So it's only a simon bi'almal shmo, meaning he mentions his name as a simon to direct the prayer, lo niskaven kol ikra al shmo, el niskaven le'eloka de Meir ha'aretz. He really meant the God of Meir. What does Meir mean? Meir is the luminary that gives light. So the God of the luminaries, meaning God is the divine controller of the moon, the sun, and all the sources of light. La'aretz v'la'dor melahu ya'aneni, he should answer me. So it comes out here that the word Meir here then is only a simon ba'alma. He chose the word Meir because it's also his name, but what he really meant by Meir is the God of the Meir, meaning the God of the luminary that gives light. Oh, now this is even more fascinating to me. Do you see where the word O is? It's about five lines up from the bottom of the paragraph. Sha'amar Eloa de Meir. What does it mean, God who gives light? Shemeir lanu b'malchus yavan hakodemes. Now keep in mind, Yavan and Hanukkah take place approximately midway from the moment that the Mikdash, the second base of Mikdash, was built until it was destroyed. Rabbi Meir is already at the end of that period of time, and simultaneously with the destruction of the base of Mikdash. So the period in which God grants the Jewish people salvation from Yavan has long passed. But what Rabbi Meir was praying to, he was saying, God, you know what? You shone your light, so to speak. Reflected the light, the divine light, to protect us in the case of Malchus Yavan. Now I'm in, I'm in great straits from a different Malchus. You know, it's a good deal of time later. Benes Haneiro Shel Chanukah, you protected us and defeated the kingship of Yavan at the time of the great miracle of Chanukah. And you should now remember the way you brought about that Nes of Chanukah and protected us against the enemies of Yavan, and again bring about a miracle and protect us now against the Malchus. And at this point, the Marsha quotes a piyut. Back in the day, today it's a little more rare, they used to recite piyutim. And every every holiday or even special Shabbos were singled out for unique liturgical poems that were all based on Torah and an deep understanding of Chazal. And there's a piyut for Shabbos Chanukah, which you'll probably find if you have an old matzah. The old machzorim actually have a section for Chanukah in them.
Really?
It's not a machzor for Chanukah, yeah. But you know they have all the piyutim for days that you and I never dreamt we would say piyutim on. In fact, I think I have at home a machzor from London that's hundreds of years old. It's in beautiful shape. It's an antique.
In English and Hebrew?
No, it's only in Hebrew. Oh. It doesn't have English on it. And what does it say in that piyut? It says, "Mi yair lanu meir," etc., etc. "Hu yaneni gam b'malchuzu." It's God whose light illuminated the darkness of Yavan and protected and defeated Yavan should also protect us and respond to our prayers b'malchuzu in the situation that we're facing now against our enemies. "Lahatzil osanu b'nes miyadehem." To save us with a miracle from the clutches of that Malchus. So we see clearly that there's a connection here between Hashem saving us from the Malchus of Yavan and Hashem protecting us from any Malchus, whatever the Malchus might be, at any particular time that we're facing that challenge. And the question is, why does Chanukah and the Ness of Chanukah play such a major role? I mean, Hashem saved us from many different malchios and many different situations. You know, you can talk about Parasu Mada, you can talk about Mitzrayim if you go back early enough, but somehow what's singled out by the Paitan is the Ness of Chanukah. And why is that so? But even more fundamental is we're talking about Hashem saving us as a meir. And there's no doubt that that's not coincidental, because the idea of Meir, that you give light, has to do with the Neros of Chanukah. But somehow, the Neros of Chanukah are connected to this prayer of Hashem, Hashem, you should be Meir, you should be Meir, and Anenu. Aloka de Meir, Anenu. Aloka de Meir Lanu, Keneged Hayivanim, at the time of the next Chanukah, Hu Ya'aneni. Today he should protect me from my enemies. So that's going to be a question that hopefully we'll come back to at the end of our discussion. Why is it that Rabbi Meir prayed to Hashem to come back to us in the merit of the Ness of Chanukah and repeat that kind of miracle, and he should shine his light for the salvation from our adversary and Malchus today, as he did back at the time of the Yevanim? And no doubt the Meir concept has something to do with the R of Chanukah, the Ner Chanukah. So having said that and put that, so to speak, on the back burners for a while, we're going to jump ahead by a good couple of centuries, the Marsho is almost 500 years ago, to the Bnei Yisoschar, who is one of the Chassidish Rebbeim who's known for his intellectual contribution, which is studied in all yeshivas, you know, even though some yeshivas are what they call misnagdash yeshivas, you know, but that whole thing doesn't exist anymore. My father told me already in his youth, which is a century ago, there was already an openness to Hasidus and especially Chabad, which was very heavily anchored and entrenched in Lita, Lithuania. They were already having, you know, making inroads on the Lithuanians who were, you know, my father told me in the Lithuanian yeshivas, it was not rare to find an undercover Lubavitcher, you know. You know, he might not have revealed that he was a Chabadnik, but he was, you know. So the Bnei Yisoschar speaks about the secret of our Chanukah. And he identifies the essence of our Chanukah, again, this is not on a surface level, but on a deeper level, with what's called the Ar HaGanus. Now, how would you translate the word Ganus? Concealed, hidden. Very good. So there's some sort of concealed light. And what we're going to see now is, as we take our journey, that that light is metaphysically different, essentially different than the light that as we know it. And he quotes the Baal HaRokeach. The Baal HaRokeach lived, my guess would be, about 5 centuries ago. And the Bnei Yisoscha writes about the Baal HaRokeach, the author of the Rokeach, that Dvarav Mekubalim Elio Anovi. You can rely on the testimony or the insights of the Rokeach, because anything he said came from Elio Anovi. And later on he's going to quote the Maharal Prague. What was the insight of the Rokeach? The Rokeach says that the light of Hanukkah symbolically represents the Or HaGonus, that original, supernal, concealed light. And he goes on, the Bnei Yisoscha, to heap praises on the Rokeach and how everything he said came from Kedusha and it was revealed to him, the secrets of the Torah. And then he says that the reason, according to the Sefer HaRokeach, that Chanukah is called Chanukah is because it's Miloshen Chinuch, which means when you prepare or you educate for the Geula Asida, for the ultimate redemption. And guess what? If Chanukah is meant to prepare us for the ultimate redemption, what kind of aura are we talking about? When we talk about the aura of Ner Chanukah, are we talking about the physical aura as we know it? That's not a preparation. That's not a, you know, a little bit of a taste. Are you gentlemen familiar with the concept of Tameh Chaim Zochu? You know, like on Erev Shabbos, you eat a little bit of the cholent or something like that. If you're not familiar with it, it's kedai to get familiar with it. Like Al Pi Chassidus, it has a lot of deep meaning, but it's good. Yeah, so that's called Tameh Chaim Zochu, meaning you get a little bit of it, as you prepare for Shabbos, get a little bit of a taste of the Shabbos. So what you're preparing for, you get a bit of a sampling of beforehand, within the context of the preparation. And we have this kind of concept that repeats itself a lot. Here it's repeating itself in the fact that Chanukah is a preparation for the ultimate Geula. Why? Because Chanukah has an Or which is identical with the Or HaGanus, which is going to finally be revealed at the end of days. You may be getting already to think ahead of yourselves as to why we began with the Oro Shel Mashiach in the Medrash here in Parashas Vayeshev. Because what's going to connect Chanukah to Parshas Miketz is some sort of a foretelling, if you will, of the ultimate Geula and a revelation of the true essence of the Or Chanukah. That's not just a regular Or, it's not just a regular light, it's the light of Mashiach, it's the light of the ultimate Geula, it's the light of the Or HaGonus, that hidden light. And the Rokeach goes on to say that Chazal worked it out deliberately, that the number of candles that we light over Chanukah is 36. That's the magic number. Why is that number so significant? And he says, because the Or HaGanus, now if I tell you something is concealed, what does that imply?
We don't know it.
Right, but what if you go back a little bit earlier in history, what does it imply? It implies, correct, that at one point it existed, it was accessible. Now, for how long was that R accessible?
For 36 hours, excellent.
And what were those 36 hours? Those were the hours of 12 hours before Shabbos, after Adam HaRishon was born, the 12 hours of the night of Shabbos, and the 12 hours of the day of Shabbos. So 12 times 3 is 36. So there, and right after Shabbos, as we'll soon see in the Medrash, you know what, maybe we'll fast forward just for a moment. Don't lose your place here in the middle of number 4, but fast forward, if you will, to number 12 on the left side. The Medrash Rabbah says, in the name of Rab Levi, in the name of Rab Zeira, Lamed Vav Sha'os Shimsha Osa Ora, that incredible infinite light served or was accessible to man for 36 hours. Yud Beis Shal Ev Shabbos, Yud Beis Shal Leil Shabbos, Yud Beis Shal Shabbos. V'kevet Sheshoka Acham Motzoi Shabbos, immediately with the end of Shabbos, Hischil hachoshech memashmeish uba. So you get the impression that for the first 36 hours of his life, Adam Rishon didn't know what choshech was. All he had was pure aur, pure light. And for the first time, he had an experience, an encounter with darkness. V'nisyari Adam Rishon, and he was overwhelmed by fear. I can't live in darkness. Because the aur haganuz was nignas. That aur that was originally revealed was now hidden. Ma osa kodesh baruch hu. And this is the famous story of the Medrash about rubbing two stones that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, provided Adam HaRishon with two rafim. Rafim is a special kind of a stone. What do they call it in English?
Flint.
Not flint. It's you know, they use it on the top of houses for roofing.
Slate.
What's it called?
Slate.
That wasn't the word that I know, but it might be the same. They're reddish in color.
Slate, you said.
Yes. Called the slate?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you know, maybe an American language has a slightly different name.
Tiles?
Shingles. Oh, that's in American it's called shingles. No?
No, not in the UK, well, maybe in America.
Oh, so you never heard the word shingles? No, that's good, because
shingles,
it could be that we're using.
What's on the beach?
Oh, so it could be that we're using two words from two different countries that mean the exact same thing. If we had a good dictionary, we could look it up. Anyway, he took these two stones and he rubbed them together. He kishan zelazeh v'yotza mehen or ubirech alav. That's why we have the bracha bori moreish on motzi Shabbos, because this is the first time that we had eish and light the way we know it today. Until that moment in time, Motzi Shabbos, and the first Motzi Shabbos, there was no such thing as Or as we know it. There was an Or, which today is called the Or HaGanuz, because it was hidden at that point. So let's get back now to number four, where we stopped. And he quotes the pasuk that says, Vayar Elokim es ha'or ki tov. Now, what does he have on the letter tes? You know, the word tov starts with tes, and there are dalid tagim on top of the tes. Now, when you have a tag on top of a letter, it means that you're meant to multiply that letter, its numerical value, by X number of times, which is equivalent to the number of tagim. Now, I don't think you'll see it in our printed chumash. Does it have it?
I don't know.
Yeah, if you get one of the fancy, what they call mesorah chumashim, you'll find these tagim. Anyway, so if you multiply 9 times 4, what do you get? 36. So that tov corresponds to the 36 hours of the R, that pure R that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created at the beginning of creation. Okay. And then he says that the 36 lights of the candle, Ha'oras HaMitzvos Ner Chanukah Me'oras Or HaGanuz, the light of the candles, of the 36 candles, is a reflection, a replica of the light of the original creation in the 36 hours that Or was Meshamesh. And he says that Kineged Lashon Or Uma Oros Vener Sheniskar B'Torah Lamed Vav Pa'amim. He says that, which I didn't get a chance to do a word search on this, but he says that the word Ner and Or and Ma'oros, if you count up how many times they appear, you'll come up with the number 36. So this is
here where?
I think he means in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. I'm not sure. I don't know. In any event, what is the Or Ganuz? You know, like, okay, for 36 hours there was such a light, but what was unique about that light? And the Ateris Kanim, which is a compilation, an anthology of different commentaries on the Chumash, he speaks about a Marshal. And the Marshal speaks about the connection between Chanukah and the time of ultimate redemption. Now, there are holidays that will still exist at the time of the ultimate Geula. V'ulai samach ha-marshal joshas chazal shekol ha-modo dosyu b'teilim chutz mi-chanukah u-purim, that the holiday of Chanukah will continue to exist even after the Geula, because this is an exception to the rule about kol ha-mo'ados kulim yu-b'teilim. Now again, what Chazal meant by that has to be taken under advisement, because on the face of it, that makes no sense. there's no part of the Torah that will be batel, but it might become a little bit less profound. And he says that the remez for this is that the bracha is lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, and that's more al ha'asid. Now what that means, I think, I can't promise you, is that the ner Chanukah is in a sense a reflection on the ner of the ultimate ge'ul at the end of days, because at that time of the redemption there will be a revelation of the original Ar Ganus that served for 36 hours and then was then concealed. And he gives a kind of a parallelism, and he says we find something similar in the case of Shabbos, Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, Lasid Lavo Yom Shekulo Shabbos. So there'll be a Shabbos Lasid Lavo, and that's going to be called a Yom Shekulo Shabbos. Now I think we're getting just a taste of it. Baruch Hashem, we get it once a week, once every 7 days, but it's only a taste of the ultimate Shabbos of Yom Shekulo Shabbos. And at the same time, we're given a taste of the Ar HaGanus now in the form of Chanukah, but ultimately we will reach the level of a constant, perpetual Ar HaGanus, revealed Ar HaGanus, I mean. So we want to know, why is it that Chanukah was chosen, singled out, to be one of two holidays which will be Miskayim La'asid Lavo, which will continue to exist at the time of the future? I mean, there are many, many more. Why is Chanukah singled out? So let's just review very quickly some of our questions, then we'll get a little bit to halachic questions. We want to know, number one, why is it that in the Piyut we pray that Hashem should spare us and protect us from our enemies the same way He spared us at the time of the Nes Chanukah from the Yevanim? Question number two, what is the connection between the Ar of Ner Chanukah and the Ar HaGanus? Why is it that on Chanukah, through the agency of the Ar HaNer, we achieve some sort of connection to the Ar HaGanus, to such extent that we know for sure that Chanukah will be Liyasid Lava, will not be Batal Liyasid Lava, will continue to exist, because at the time of the Geula, on the contrary, the light of the Chanukah will be a constant kind of a light. Now it's only eight days a year. And at this point we want to take a little digression into the world of Halacha, and to indicate the very unique nature and significance of Ner Chanukah, that will be not only it will continue to exist L'skayim L'asid Lavo, but also it's interesting that we have an Isur Melacha. It's only by Minog, not strictly by Din, but Minog Yisrael Torah. Why are we abstaining from Melacha on Chanukah? And when is it on Chanukah? Noah goes Hanosh Lalasus Melacha Biod Shaneros Dolkos. As long as the Ner Chanukah is lit, we don't do Melacha. And the Be'er Heitev points out, in the name of the Maril, that a person should not do Melacha during that half hour when the Neros are lit.
Yeah.
And
Rak Noshim, no?
Oh, so is it Rak Noshim? So if you take a look, you'll see that it's not only Noshim, it's more of a responsibility on Noshim. But the Maril is quoted in the Be'er Heitev as saying, Kabbalah b'deinu she'ein la'adam la'asos melacha ba'od ha'shaner es dolkin, not just Noshim. So the Be'er Heitev starts with Noshim, and then he goes on to quote the Maril. The Maril was an Ashkenazic Jew who was like the final word in Psak for centuries to come. I mean, even to this day, we're very mocked about the Maril. So the question is, on a Shabbos or Yontif, we know there's Isur Melacha because of the Kedushas Hayom, but Chanukah and Purim are days which, although we have a mitzvah of Hallel, and we have mitzvahs of reading the Megillah, on Chanukah we have the mitzvah of lighting the Ner Chanukah, but one thing I can guarantee you, there's no Kedushas Hayom. Right, there's no Isur Melacha. So what is the nature of this minog to abstain from Melacha on Chanukah, at least while the neros are lit. And then the Medrash Rabbah that we started before speaks about the significance of Re'ias Ner Chanukah. This is a long discussion. I've spoken about this in the past. I'm not going to review what I said. And the concept of looking at the Ner. There are actually poskim, believe it or not, who advocate sitting for a half hour looking at the Ner. And there are many, many different reasons for that, minhag. But it seems that this looking at the Ner, according to the Sefer Rokeach, insofar as he makes the connection between our Ner Chanukah and the original Ner that was created for 36 hours, that was now Ganuz, that is now Ganuz, I should say, that has something to do with looking at the Ar Ganuz. In other words, if you have a penetrating vision, and you have a good ophthalmologist, right? So you can actually see the Ara Ganuz in the Ner Chanukah. But that's for the first half hour. So for that half hour, forget about Malacha. You know, don't get distracted. Just look at the Ner, according to this. It's not my meaning, but I do try as much as I can to look at the Ner. And it has a metaphysical impact on the person and on his nefesh. I think we'll get to that later if we have time. So in any event, what we have so far is Re'ias Ner Chanukah. Of course, what we're looking at is really essentially the Or HaGanuz. And we should not be doing Malacha so that we can, instead of being distracted, we're single-mindedly focused on the Or of the Or HaGanuz. Now, I would like to mention here, but this you don't have on your page, the insight of the Malbim, and he writes Yadua Shebeneros Hamenorah Hayameir Or Haganus, that in the menorah itself, now he's talking about the Beis Hamikdash at the beginning of Parashas Baloscha. That's where he makes this comment. Those neros in the menorah gave a light that was the Or Haganus. So now the plot is getting even thicker, because we're saying that the Or HaGanuz not only existed for 36 hours and then it was concealed, that it became Choshek in the world. Not only does the Ner Chanukah carry within it for the 36 candles, connected to the 36 hours, the Or HaGanuz, but now the Malbim is taking us back to the menorah, the original menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And then he goes on to tell us the Malbim, which I found fascinating, that if you go through Parshas Bereishis, I know you have a Chumash here, so maybe you can check me out on this. At the end of each creation, it says, Vayihi Chen, and so it was. But he says there's only one exception. He says, when Hashem says, Vayihi Or, let there be light on the first day, it doesn't say, Vayihi Chen, says the Malbim. Delo nichta Vayihi Chen b'maisa yom rishon mishum chenignaz Or HaGanuz, velo nigmara habriya shal oso yom kitikuna. In other words, in the original divine plan, on that first day of creation, there was meant to be a certain kind of an Or which was concealed. So we really never got for 36 hours we had it, but it wasn't a permanent creation. It was somehow concealed, and man does not have the ability to access that original Or. So that Bria is inaccessible. And a Bria that's inaccessible, I mean, this is my understanding of the Malbim, he doesn't say this, but that's not a Bria at all. So Migmar Bria, and therefore the Torah omitted which word? Vayichen. But he says, V'ata, but now, again, this is the Malbim in his comment at the beginning of Parashat Baloscha, Al Yidea Menorah Nishlama Bria Siom Rishon Mitchunoso. He says that the original creation of R is now complete. The Zeu Shekosav, and therefore you look in Parashas Baloscha, the Pasuk says, Vayas Kain Aron. And that word Vayas Kain, that Kain is to replace the original Vayhi Chen that was omitted in the case of R on the first day of creation. Sha'aron, says the Malbim, Tikain Milas Kain. Vibriyas Yom Rishon. He came to rectify the omission of Vayihi Chen of the creation of light on the first day. And therefore, it says in the case of Aaron that what does the pasuk say there? I don't have it in front of me. Vayas Kein Aaron. Excellent. So he says, why does the Torah have to say Vayas Kein Aaron? It seems like a superfluous. Don't tell me about everything that he was commanded to create in the Midrash. You know, he was commanded to make the chatzotzos and the kruvim. It doesn't say Vayas Kein Aaron. Here's Vayas Kein Aaron, meaning Aaron became the agent to complete the process of creation that started thousands of years earlier when God created the world. And therefore, Aaron brings the Cain back into the picture that was omitted in the Bria Sa'ola. And therefore, Chazal say, Malamed Shaloshina, that Aaron didn't change anything, meaning he lived up to his responsibility to reestablish, recreate that R that was meant to be a permanent creation on the first day. Which is pretty fascinating. So the Malbim is giving us an insight into the nature of the menorah back in the Heichal and the Mikdash that Aaron lit, and that menorah had the dimension of Or HaGanuz in it. Now, if that be the case, Rabosai, I think I can bridge to Hanukkah. But in order to bridge, I need a bridge. Meaning, I've got the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. That's Or HaGanuz. And now I have the Ner Chanukah. The bridge is going to be that Ner Chanukah is the replacement of the original menorah. But Rabosai, at what point in time in history will the Ner Chanukah sort of replace the original Ner in the Heichal? At what moment in time? No, at the moment of Churban HaBayis, meaning as long as the menorah was up and running for another 2 centuries after the Chashmonaim, I didn't need the Ner Chanukah. I only need the Ner Chanukah to take on this very unique role of being Lamed Vav Neros Keneged Lamed Vav Shaos of the Araganus. Once the Ner the menorah Shabbat Mikdash was gone, and that terminated with the Churban. So from the moment of Churban on, the Ner Chanukah became and was upgraded to this unbelievable level of a replacement kaviyochel of the Ner Shabbat Mikdash. And now the Or Gadus that the Malbim says was inherent in the Mikdash, because Aaron completed the incomplete creation of Or with his Cain. Now in the form of Ner Chanukah, we are continuing that manifestation of the Or HaGanuz from the menorah in Mikdash in the form of the Ner Chanukah. And this makes sense according to the Bnei Yisachar that we studied before, the name of the Rokeach, that the Ha'ara, the light of the Ner Chanukah, is the light of the Or HaGanuz. Which is unbelievable, Rabbi. So what it means is when we make the bracha, we should have thought of this last night, but at least tonight, when we make the bracha on Adlokas Ner Chanukah, we should have in mind that we're lighting the R of the Beis HaMikdash, which is really the R of the original 36 hours of creation, which is the R HaGadus. And that's really what we're remembering today when we light the Ner Chanukah. It's unbelievable. It makes Ner Chanukah so unique. It's going to begin to give us a clue as to why all the other Moados, with the exception of Purim and Chanukah, were Batel, but not Chanukah. No way, no how, because Chanukah is the bridge between the Ner that was created 36 hours and the Ner Shabbat Mikdash, and ultimately the Ner and the R of the time of the Geula. Do you see my point?
Yes, but in which case, then, for sure, then when the R of the Geula comes, then for sure we won't need a Chanukah anymore. So it should be abolished.
Well, again, I think what's going to happen is that the R of Chanukah, the R of Ner Chanukah, has that power of the Or HaGanuz. As long as the Ner Chanukah is lit, it can have an unbelievable, right. What's the word I'm looking for? Something effect?
Ashpah.
Yeah, but there's a phrase in English, something impact, a... Sorry, I'm blanking out. A chain reaction,
like a domino effect.
Excellent, a domino effect. It's going to have a domino effect in which the Or HaGanuz that's being revealed in the Ner Chanukah is now spreading throughout the entire universe. and not just for 8 days, but the entire year. But the power is generated by those 8 days of Hanukkah. And I'm thinking to myself, Rabbosai, as we, you know, as we go back to this page that we started with, but before we do so, that, you know, the Yevanim represented the antithesis of what?
Light. They were darkness.
No, obviously they were darkness and we light, but what is the light that we have that they tried to darken?
The Torah
itself. The antithesis between Chachmas Yavan and Chachmas Yisrael is the antithesis between darkness and light, is the antithesis between anti-Torah and Torah. And specifically, Torah Sheval Peh. Because what Hanukkah really represents is the ultimate achievement of Torah Sheval Peh, where we can interpret the Torah, understand the Torah. That's called Talmud. Talmud means pilpul, means chidush, means insights and original understandings of the Torah. That's all inherent in Hanukkah. So the R here that we're talking about on Hanukkah is definitely related to the R of Torah. And if you want to write down something, we're not going to have time to study it now, but you'd be fascinated by this. You know that the Netziv Mivalojin wrote authored a commentary on the Torah, on the Chumash. It's called the Hamek Davar. And in his comment on Shmos Chav Zayin Pasuk Chav, which is about the menorah, the Hamek Davar ends a very long and complicated presentation with the following statement. Al-Kain V'bayis Sheni Sherabu Yeshivos V'amidu Talmidim Harbe. He says that during the period of Bayis Sheni, and specifically the last part of Bayis Sheni, there was a ribui of Torah, of pilpul, of chidush in the yeshivas. Va'avayis da'bay v'rova. This led up to the Talmud, which was authored, you know, which was put together by Ravina Ravashi after the Churban Abayis. All that, he says, is a result of what happened during Bayis Sheni. Says in Netziv, what happened during Bayis Sheni that would project the Torah and prepare for that Hizchazkus v'Hizgabrus b'Torah? It was what? It was Nischaze Koach HaMenorah al Yidei Nes Chanukah. Listen to the language of the Netziv. You know, you can read this Netziv and just miss it. It's such a subtle comment, yet so profound. He's saying that there was a special power to the menorah as a result of the great miracle that took place at the time of the Chashmonaim, the time of Hanukkah. And that power of the menorah, he says, would be machazek the Neros of Hanukkah. So we have, again, we have an unbelievable chain over here. You know, A leads to B, B leads to C, where not only is there an entire chain leading us from the Aragonus to the Ner Sheva Migdash, to the Ner Hanukkah, to the Ner of Mashiach, lost in love at the time of the Geula, when the Aragonus would be revealed, but there's also within that chain a role of Talmud. Talmud meaning the study of chidushim, of insights into Torah, what we call Talmud Torah Shebal Peh. And all this, as the Netziv, had to take place at the time, the second half of Bayis Sheni, to prepare us for the most creative, productive, and original period of intellectual thinking that was embodied in the Talmud. He calls it Havayos Dabaye Dabaye Varava. And all that is the R that comes out. But let me ask you a question, Rabbosai. And I don't know if you know the answer to this, but Chazal actually addressed this question, believe it or not. What's more difficult, Torah Shebitzav or Torah Shebal Peh?
Torah Shebal
Peh. Torah Shebal Peh. And this is a Tanchuma, which I'd like to read to you. Again, it's not on your page, but it's a very famous Tanchuma in Parshas Noach. And again, it's a Langa Arichus, one of the longest Tanchumas in the entire Sefer. But I'm just going to read you the punchline. And he writes regarding the Mishnah in Avos, which I happen to have mentioned yesterday in my drasha, of Paspa Mel Tochal Mayim Bamesorah Tishte, V'Aloretz Tishen, it then says Chayitzar Tichye, V'Torah Ta'omel, says the Tanchuma, that statement in the Mishnah is referring specifically to Torah Shebal Peh, She'ikoshe Ma'od L'lamda, V'yesh Batsar, V'yesh Batsar Gadol, Could you imagine Chazal making such a statement that it's literally a mysterious nefesh of pain, you know, to really learn Torah Shebaal Peh? And not only that, he says that the Balei HaTalmud Ro'u Or Gadol, they saw a great light. So it means that with, you know, without the Talmud, without the Torah Shebaal Peh and the Chachmei HaTalmud, we're left in Choshech. And it was the Chachmei HaTalmud through their pilpul who brought this Or, which really ties in beautifully to Hanukkah, because if you remember the Yevanim wanted to undermine the Torah, and specifically the Torah Shebaal Peh, and they attacked all sorts of institutions of Torah study, and that was the Choshech of Yavan. Yavan is always identified with Choshech, and the study of Torah Shebaal Peh is the beautiful light that comes from Choshech. It's not easy. You don't just snap your fingers and you come up with chidushim and insights. You go through a very painful period of tsar. And the Psik the Rabbi says, Ha'aretz I saw so vavov choshech al pnei tahom choshech zu malchus Yavan shehayu gzeroseha koshos. The gzeros and the attack against the Torah on the part of the Yavanim was really a difficult period of time of choshech. So the Chanukah represents that R of you know, after choshech. And if you recall, Adam HaRishon, after the 36 hours, he was living in what? In darkness, and he needed the R. And in a sense, we can begin to, you know, to tie this all together here. Let's take a look at number 14 on your page. And this is a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Ayin Zayin Amid Beis. And it's very interesting that we begin with R, which was the creation of those 36 hours. That's number one. Then we go to a state of Choshech, which is represented Motzi Shabbos, when Adam HaRishon had to again bring back the R. So we go from R to Choshech to R. And this is very interesting because the Gemara in Shabbos, as the Marsha embellishes it in number 15, speaks about Yavan and the relationship between Yavan and Yisrael. But for that, if you'll allow me, I need a minute's break to get a Gemara Shabbos from inside. Mizera Ashkach l'Rabbi Yehuda Davikoi Apischa Debechamua. Rabbi Zera, he encountered Rabbi Yehuda. And where was Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda was standing at the Pesach of Beis Chamav, of his father-in-law's house. Now, I have a footnote here, and he speaks about the fact that Rabbi Yehuda stood at this point, the Pesach of Beis Chamav, Sha'af Shahisa Kavanas Rabbi Zera Vishelosov Lirmos Ludvam Shal Torah Mikomakom Kemendul Fip Shutom Li Ene Aroam Hem Sha'elos Vinyoni Olam Lomolu Libel Shal Rabbi from Zera Lishol Sha'elos Elumi Rabbo Bios Yoshev Besan Medrash. Okay, maybe we'll come back to that. I don't know. I hope it's not absolutely necessary, but it's very complicated here about the different kinds of questions that were asked. Anyway, Chazye, Rabbi Yehuda sees his father in law. Dahavi bedicha daite, which means he was in a very jovial state. Viboy mine kol chalali alma, he knew, Rabbi Yehuda, that if you'd ask his father-in-law about anything b'chalali ha'alma, meaning in the universe, anything in the physical universe, havi onole, he would reveal any sort of secret about nature. Amale, so Rabbi Zera turns to Rabbi Yehuda and he says to him, I guess he wanted to ask Rabbi Yehuda to get the answer to this question. He was sort of like relaying a question. My taima izi mazgan beresha. Why is it that the goats go at the beginning of the Eder? You know, they sort of lead the pack. So I guess if you have sheep, then the goats go in front. Okay? And again, as I said before, the footnote tells you why he asked this on the Pesach, and he didn't want to go into the Beis Medrash, because this was more of a question about the world. It had more of a scientific, mundane kind of dimension to it, so it wasn't really, it would be a little bit of a bittul zman in the Beis Medrash. But for us already, it's in the Gemara, so for us it's not bittul zman. And he says, V'hadrei V'hadar Imre. Oh, and behind the goats come the kvasim, the sheep. On a lace, Rabbi Yehuda turns to Rabbi Zera, and he says, Kibriyaso shel olam. Like this parallels the creation of the world. Dibereisha chashocha v'hadar nahora. That initially there was darkness, and then there was light. So to the Izim, again, I can only tell you that they're talking about black goats. Apparently their goats were dark. I mean, most of the goats that I ever saw are light, but anyway, the Izim Sheruban Shchoros, Holchos Lifnei Akvasim Sheruban Levanim. And the Marsha is going to tell us that this is a mashal. The whole thing, they were talking a secret language here, this whole dialogue, this whole communication. And he says the following, that according to Chazal, based on a pasuk in Daniel, Malchus Yavan is represented symbolically by the Izim, by the goats. And Daniel says about the Yavanim, Utsfir ha'izim higdil. Fine. Yisrael nimshalu l'seh. We are like the sheep. Kimosha Kasuv, as it says, Seh pezura Yisrael. Ulafisha bebayis sheni lo amdu malachim liYisrael. At the time of the second bias, we didn't have malchus in Yisrael. Is malchei hashmonoi vehurdus ad shemolchu bizman abayis mikodem malchus yavon Alexander muktam the achra of malachim acherim miyavon. So apparently, the Marsha says, and I'm not familiar with all the nuances here and the details, that there was a period at the time of Malchus Yavon, maybe even before that, in which the kingship was in the hands of Yavon, and therefore my tiny easy shu Malchus Yavon azul bereishal limloch v'bay sheni. The question that Reb Zera was asking Rav Yehuda was, why is it, if we decipher the code, why is it that the Malchus of Yavan goes ahead of the other Malachim during the period of Bayis Sheni? They are like the Izim that go in front of the Kvasim. The Achkach Amri, and afterwards come the Kvasim, Shu Malchus Yisrael. Amo Lehi answered him, Shekvar Nirmaz Zeb Briyasa Shal Olam. Dibereisha chashucha. Again, keep in mind that Yavan represents what? Choshech. Choshech al pnei tov ze zu malchus Yavan. Shenev choshech v'hadar nahora. And after God created darkness, or after there was darkness, is then he created light. Kiritziv vayehi or. The Amru Rabbi Sainim, Bracious Rabbi, Choshek al Pnei Homs, Tahom Zu, Yavan, Shehechshicha, Einayim Shal Yisrael. The Acharkach, Malchus Chashmanoish, you are Shemolchu Benes Nero Shal Chanukah. So it's clear from this understanding, this interpretation of Marsha, of the answer of Yehuda to Rabbi Zera's question, that they were talking about the fact that first comes Malchus Yavan, and then, after that darkness, the situation or the sequence that took place at the time of creation repeats itself, and after Choshech we have R, so too, in the case of the Izim, which means Malchus Yavan, that went Bereisha, first we had the darkness of Yavan, and then was followed by the light of Malchei Chashmonoi Malchus B'Yisrael, at the time of the Nes of Chanukah, and he specifically singles out the Neros of Chanukah, that the Neros of Chanukah represent the light that banishes the darkness of Yavan. And that leads us to Rav Tzadok HaKohen, who says, HaSeder SheYisar Hashem Yisrael Bebriya, the sequence of creation was Bereisha Chashucha VaHadar Nahora, that as we saw just now in the Gemara in Shabbos Ayin Zayin, first comes darkness and then comes light. He says, Kachu Bechol Yemos Olam. He says that represents not just the moment of creation and the sequence of creation, but it represents the experience of history, throughout history, eternally. Why? Because Ein Lecha Shum Or Mizgalel Mitoch HaChoshech HaKodem Lo. He says that you can never have light and miracles without first the period of darkness. That's the way history repeats itself in that sequence. Derech Moshal, even the case of Matan Torah, which is a great day of light, is only after Yitzias Kodem Lo Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is darkness for 210 years. Ubinya Beis Hamikdash Ayidei Shvias Aron LePlishtim Shu Hefek LeGamer. You know, it's a time of David HaMelech. The Plishtim took away the Aron, and that was a dark period of history. And then when the Aron was freed from the Plishtim, at that point we were ready at the time of Shlomo HaMelech to build the Beis Hamikdash. So we start with the Plishtim capturing the Aron. That's a day of great darkness, and ultimately after that darkness we have the light of building the Beis Hamikdash after the Aron was returned to Klal Yisrael. So Rabosa, what we're seeing in front of us is now not only are we dealing with the light of creation as an Or Ganuz, which was after the Gnizo, it was followed by Choshech, but that Choshech is going to lead to Or. And this seems to be existentially built into the entire fabric of the universe, that first is going to be Choshech, that's what God had first, and then there's going to be Or. First there'll be Yavan, which is Choshech, and then and only after them will there be Klal Yisrael in the Ner Chanukah, which is the Or HaGanuz, which is the light of that follows the darkness. Vayerev, Vayivoker, and then there was Or. And the Radomsker, who's called the Tiferes Shlomo, he expands this and he says, Ki bechinas haheder hu behechrech kodem lemetzias havaya. There's no such thing that exists in reality unless first it didn't exist. And that's non-existent. So there's non-existence, which is called heder, and then existence. Vehu asiba lemetzias havaya. What generates, what causes havaya to come into existence? It is the absence of havaya, the heder. K'mo shenira zeh b'tfuah. If you take a look, he says, as a mashal, you plant a seed. Does anybody know what happens to the seed before it grows?
Explodes.
Okay, I wouldn't have used that word, but in Hebrew it's called rikavon. I don't know how you translate that. It disintegrates, or it really gets corrupted. He says that lo yalu v'lo yitzmichu yatzmichu zulas achar harikavon agomer v'ofer kulo. That in the ground it's completely corrupted, it's completely disintegrated, and then it grows. And he says this is a reflection of the bria of the creation itself. That first there was choshech, and then vayomer l'kimi yor, and then there will be or. That it's the choshech that's the sibas ha'or. It's the darkness that it ultimately engenders light. And that's what we say in our prayers every day. Yotzer or ubore choshech. Rabosa, I've said this thousands of times in my life, but I never knew what it meant. Now I know what it means. Says the Tiferes Shlomo, what does it mean? Yotzer or ubore choshech? Al yidei shebore choshech tchila. Al yidei chen yetze or uboker achrov lizgalos. That it's only because of the brias hachoshech, which was first, then and only then there can be brias or. So again, what we've seen in Masechta Shabbos about the way the Maharsha understands the Gemara of Masechta Shabbos about the Izim, who go ahead of the Kvasim, which means the darkness of Yavan, the Malchus of Yavan comes first, Barash, like the Izim, because Daniel already equated the Malchus of Yavan with the Izim, and then comes the Seh, which is the Malchus of Yisrael, the Ar, and that's the Ar of Hanukkah. Now, if this be the case, then perhaps we can begin to understand why it is that Hanukkah is so unique and plays such an important role that we are mispalel that just like Hashem saved us at the time of the Yevanim, and that's why we have Hanukkah, He should save us again from any malchus that stands up against us, right? And the reason for that is because Hanukkah is the R that follows the Choshech. And when it says that V'artz I saw so above a Choshech al Pnei Tahom, that Choshech is going to be the darkness of Motzi Shabbos, that first critical Motzi Shabbos after the R that God created was Ganus. And that's going to be Choshech. And that Choshech is going to take the form of Malchus Yavan, the Izim that go before the Seh. And ultimately from that Choshech of Malchus Yavan, we get Hanukkah, which is the R. So we now begin to understand that we start with R, then we go to Choshech, and then we go back to R again. And that Choshech is going to engender the R that comes afterwards. And if that be the case, Rabosai, then perhaps we can understand what it means that the Lamed Vav, the 36 candles of Hanukkah, represent the Ar HaGanus. And when you look at the Ner Hanukkah, if you're not distracted by Malacha, and you sit there for a half hour, you are really linking, you are really connecting yourself to the Ar HaGanus. And that Ar HaGanus is which Ar? Right? We said there were three, there's a three-stage sequence. There's Ar, Choshech, and Ar. Which R are we talking about when we talk about the R Agonos? The original R, before the Choshech. The original 36 hours. And that's what the Sfasemis is going to pick up on. This, my friends, is the apex or the punchline of the Shia today. So pay attention if you can. He says the Sfasemis, the Ger Rebbe, Nira, he says, Yesh R haba mikach srefas apsolis. How do we create light? By burning something, and that burning is, you know, consumed, and then we get light. So really, we have to first, in a sense, destroy something, right? To make sure that it's consumed, you have to destroy something in order to create R. That destruction, he says, represents Choshech. Harei, he says, Kol Ner Shalanu, any candlelight that we have, Meir, how does it have the power to give light? Rak only kefi mashi yeshlo lechalos ulisarif. Just because the creation of light comes from the srefa of psolis. That's our R, ner shalanu. Right? So the light of our R is the light after Choshech. So you have to have Choshech first and then R. And why? How does that represent itself? That our Ner, our R is after Choshech? Because we can only create that R by burning Psolis. But that's not the R HaGanus, my friends. That's the R that follows the Choshech. If I would ask you the following question, the original R of R HaGanus, the first 36 hours, did that R need to be lit by the burning of the Psolis? If the burning of the Psolis represents Choshech, because it's an act of destruction, then the Ar HaGanus
preceded it.
You didn't need that destruction. You didn't need that Choshech. Now, where else do we have Ar HaGanus? The Ar HaGanus was hidden, obviously, after the first 36 days. So now we have the period of Choshech. And that period of Choshech reaches its apex in Malchus Yavan, which represents the Choshech. So what comes after that? Do you follow? Again, no, we're not up to Mashiach yet. We're coming close. We're there almost. But just wait a few seconds. We're there. You know, he's knocking on the door. But before we get there, we have the 36 hours of Ar HaGanus, where you don't need any Choshech. Then we go into a period of Choshech, which is the Motzei Shabbos after the 36 hours, and that Choshech is going to reach its most bleak or most profound darkness in the embodiment, the personification of Yaman, because Choshech al Pnei Tahom Zu Malchus Yaman. What comes after the Choshech of the A's, you know, the goat of Barash, what comes after that? The Seh. What's the Seh? The Seh is Klal Yisrael. That's the Chashmonoim and the Ner Chanukah. Because the Ner Chanukah is going to be the R that follows the Choshech. Comes along the Sfasemis, and he says that's true historically, because the R of Ner Chanukah follows the Choshech of Yaman, but he says now the R Chanukah takes on a whole new meaning. And what does it become now? The R Agonus. Amol R Meir, which is the R Agonus, the original 36 hours, who Etzem Ha'or. What is Etzem Ha'or? The essential R, the real, genuine R. We call it in America the real McCoy. I don't know if you have that phrase in England. Maybe we borrowed it from the British. I don't know. The real McCoy.
No, it's ours.
Oh, that's ours? So that's probably from television or something, right? The real McCoy. So the real R, the R Be'etzem, he says, is the R Berishon, meaning the first 36 hours, Shehi Meir Misofa Olam V'Ad Sofo, V'Gonzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Tzadikim, right? That's the Gemara in Chagiga. But what's unique about that R that was originally created? It did not follow in the footsteps of what? Of Choshek, meaning there was no psolas. So when I have to burn a candle in order to create R, I'm destroying and consuming something that's called Choshek, because destruction is always identified as Choshek and vice versa. And then I can produce R, but there's an original R, which is the R Ameir, which is eternal. Misofo Olam V'Ad Sofo. And that R is not an R that succeeds Choshech. That's not an R that's created as a result of Psolas. That's not the R of the two Re'afim that Adam HaRishon had to rub one to the other in order to create light, because that light of Adam HaRishon on Motzi Shabbos, Bori Mori Eish, is the R after the Choshech, but there's an R that precedes Choshech. That's the R Agonus, that's the R Ameir Misof Olam Ad Sofa, that's the Etzem Ha'or. Ukmo Chain, this is the punchline of the whole Shia, B'nes Chanukah, Shoya Dolek B'li Shemen. Rabboisai, Hoya Dolek B'li Shemen. Now, if I would have woken you up an hour ago from a dream and said to you that the greatness of the Ner Chanukah, the Ness of Chanukah, was that it's Dolek B'li Shemen, you would have just said to me, Ashkoyach, go home. It's a nice idea, but what does it mean to me? It doesn't have any impact on me. But now it takes on a whole new meaning. If you pardon the pun, a whole new life. Because what does it mean now? That Chanukah represents an R that is light without burning up Shemen. Meaning there's no Choshech, there's no Psoles. V'hu b'b'chinas R Agonus. So the Ner Chanukah is the R Agonus. So tonight when we say the Brach on the R Agonus, what we should have in mind is that this is a level beyond the level. Meaning there's one level of Choshech, which is Yavan. That Choshech is necessary in order to prepare for the R, because there's an R that comes after the Choshech. That's the R that we're familiar with in this universe, before the R goes, meaning the R that comes and succeeds Choshech, because it has to come after Choshech. We must have the Choshech. Vayera, vayvoker, vachoshech al pnei tahom. And we can only get to that R after Choshech. We don't get that R after we burn the souls, after we have the destruction of Yavan, the Choshech of Yavan. But then we come into a whole new world, a whole new dimension. Because Ner Chanukah is not just the R after the Choshech, meaning the Seh after the A's of Malchus Yisrael on the heels of Malchus Yavan. That's not the only R of Chanukah. The R of Chanukah has a much more profound and deeper meaning. It's the R without Choshech. It's the R that preceded Choshech. There's no psolus. It's the miracle of the light without burning up the oil. Below Dleikas HaShemen. That's the Or HaGadlus. That's the Or Misofa Olam V'Ad Sofa. That's the eternal Or of the divine creation that we lost after 36 hours, and we got it back in the form of Ner Chanukah. And we begin to see now that Ner Chanukah is really the stepping stone, it's really the bridge to the ultimate revelation of the Or HaGadlus at the time of Mashiach. And therefore, Abosai, the Shvatim, are involved in Mechiras Yosef. Yosef is Bisakov that he's doing tshuva. Yaakov is Bisakov that he's doing tshuva. Reuven is Bisakov that he's doing tshuva. But Yehuda represents what? Mashiach, right? Mashiach. Yehuda represents Mashiach. What's he doing? He is involved in Likach Lo Isha, which is the greatest creative act. This is pure positive. And what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? He's Osek Be'oro Shel Mashiach. And I ask you the question, what's the Aura of Mashiach? The Aura of Mashiach is the Aura HaGadlus. And that's where Chanukah is going to lead us to the Aura HaGadlus. And it's no coincidence that we read of Mechiras Yosef that coincides with Chanukah, because the Aura that we talk about here at the time of the Mechiras Yosef, the Aura that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating, he's saying, you know what? You guys are trying to create an Or after Choshech. You, Yaakov Avinu, and Reuven, and Yosef, you're all after the Choshech. But I'm involved with Yehuda. Yehuda is a separate kind of an Or. That's not the Or after Choshech. There's no burning of the psalis. This is the Or of Chanukah. This is the Or HaGadlus. This is the Or of Mashiach. That is the Or HaEtzem. The Etzem, the essential Or. And we come back to conclude with Rabbi Meir. We started with Rabbi Meir, who's named on the light, and we end with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir really takes us back to the Or of creation. And why does Rabbi Meir take us back to the Or of creation? Because, as Rabbi Meir Shapiro had it, based on the Medrash Rabbah, the Torah of Rabbi Meir, again, I don't think he had a different Torah than we have, but his Mesorah on how to, you know, there's the written Torah that's given from generation, but then there's something called a Mesorah about how to read the Torah and how to see the Torah. So when it says there, Kutnos R, it says Kutnos R with an ayin, which means that, you know, Adam HaRishon, that God created for Adam HaRishon a kind of skin, you know, from like an animal skin to cover their body, is Rabbi Meir Sefer Torah had the word R with an Aleph. Because that R was a little bit of the R of the Or HaGadlus. Again, it was after the sin, so then it wasn't the original Or HaGadlus, but it had some sort of element in it. And Rabbi Meir was very careful to, in his very essence, to connect to that R, to that Bechina of the future. And believing in that future, he was able to formulate the prayer of Eloka de Meir Anemi, the God of light. But what light are we talking about? As we saw in the Maror Show, we're talking about the Maor of the Maoros, but that's the Maor of the original light, and that's the R that experienced or reached its expression during the period of the Chashmonaim and the defeat of Malchus Yavon. And therefore the Python says that God with he with a capital H, who illuminated our life with that R at the defeat of Malchus Yavon, that R will bring us and project us to the Oro Shel Mashiach at the end of days, at the time of the Gula Sida. And the bridge to that is Ner Chanukah. When we pray to Hashem to bring about the Geula, we're saying, Hashem, you gave us that light at the time we defeated the Choshech of Yavon. You can defeat all our enemies and all the Malchios for all of time with that same protective light, until eventually, Amirtz Hashem, will have the ultimate R, the R of Mashiach, the R HaGadlus, the R which is the Etzem, the R that's Meir Misofo Levad Sofo, B'Meir of Yameinu, Amen.